We can keep going.
Can you please repeat everything you just said now?
Yeah. A little early still here in California.
So does that sort of answer your question, Paul? I mean, I think you're right in the core thing, and I think what is sort of missing from, you know, getting this information back out to everyone is this sort of next step that we're taking to sort of advance this stuff. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The other cool thing I want to mention in the technology that's coming, because this talks about sort of user extensibility, is there's two things there. One is what we're doing in MDS, and so MDS basically got its roots, like, you know, the FACES stuff and like the VC4J stuff. It had its roots from technology we built for eBusiness Suite that we pulled back into the middleware group and then made generic. But it's one of its traits is being able to do layered customizations. And basically what that means is by 11 timeframe, every product in the Fusion middleware stack, from the BIPL to ESB, all of ADF, they'll all get any piece of metadata from MDS. So they basically ask MDS for some metadata. They'll get it back in either a Java bean or a DOM, however they want to manipulate it. And then they do their stuff with it, not caring where it came from and not caring how it got to them. So what MDS allows us to do is two things. One is it allows us to actually switch out the persistence. So MDS, by setting a configuration file, you can determine if your metadata and what parts of your metadata get stored as a file in the file system or in a database table in the database. So what that allows us to do, the eBusiness Suite users, when they build Fusion apps, they're basically going to put all their metadata in the database for production when they actually deploy the applications. But at development time, they're actually going to be all file-based. So they'll be able to check in these XML metadata files along with their code files in the same repository and version them the same way as they develop. And then at deployment time, they'll package that up into what we're calling a MAR file, a metadata archive, and that'll get deployed with the application and deployed into a database. The other cool thing that MDS is doing is layered customization. So what it allows us to do is, the plan is that eBusiness Suite ships a set of metadata documents. The customers never touch those documents. So they'll come in and actually change a business process or modify a web page that we give them, but any change they're doing is going into a layer above the document. And you can actually have multiple layers based off different types of things. You can have changes that are made at the site level by an admin. You could have, you know, changes made by a particular locale. And you can have changes made by the user who's actually customizing their page. And all of those are stored in different layers and assembled by MDS before it gives the document to whoever asked for the document. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's something that I've been contemplating, you know, in our architecture for the last few years, too. I mean, it's just a really tough problem. So.
It is. And sort of centralizing it helps it a little bit. So basically what we end up with is an architecture where technically, because we've pushed so much into the metadata, anything that's metadata, which basically by 11 is almost, you know, all the core sort of business wiring, business rules stuff, any of that stuff technically can be changed at runtime on the running system as well. And so now what we're going back and doing is, obviously, we don't want everything to be able to be changed on the running system. We're trying to figure out the key things of what users want to do when the app's deployed. What are the types of changes the user wants to do? Like, obviously, create you know, a new web page or modify a page, create a community portal, things like that. Change a business rule, add a step into a business process, or, you know, add a new routing rule into a business process. So these types of things that we're focusing on will actually allow the user to change in a product we're calling Business Editor right now, but they'll be able to actually change that at runtime. But what that list is really still up in the air.
Yeah, it's tough. In general, it's an intractable problem, so you have to sort of carve out what you'll do.
Exactly, especially for the first release. So. So moving through the questions, hopefully getting to one that Mike or someone else will answer so I can stop talking this early. Is Fusion middleware only for new code, or will you refactor the existing code? And so this is really an apps question, a Steve Miranda question, but basically what we're working through with them is there's sort of three classes of applications that they have. One is obviously the forms-based application, in which case it's a rewrite on the Fusion architecture. The second two classes are both sort of OA, which are, you know, some effort has been made to move them to the Java world, some more recently than others. So there's a certain set of stuff, like in the iProcurement space, that just completed a complete sort of overhaul in the Java world. Now, this is the pre-Fusion Java architecture, so it still has a lot of the OA stuff. In that case, they're thinking about which pieces. So it's more of a migration one-to-one. They probably won't go back and actually refactor a lot of their BC4J code and turn that into business processes. They might actually refactor some of their UI to actually get it, or sort of redo their UI to get the faces functionality on top of that. But that's sort of, the idea there is sort of more of a migration, sort of minimal changes. And then there's sort of the OA stuff that's a little bit older, that's been in Java for longer, and that's sort of a combination of migrating some stuff, refactoring it, and then putting a new user interface on top of it. That make sense? Mike or somebody else can take, well, the next one is, what is the timeline for Fusion? What does Fusion middleware need to support by when? And I don't know what to say other than, you know, our dates, what we're shooting for is complete, code complete for the Fusion middleware stack that they build apps on. You know, our goal is end of this year be code complete with a release late in 2007 for a production release, which basically gives us, you know, 10 months or so to piece it all together, debug it, and make sure it all works, all components together.
One other point on that one is that a significant number of the groups, PeopleSoft, JD Edwards, eBusiness Suite itself are certifying on 10.1.3 or 10GR3 right now. They're building new applications on it. So there's already, in a sense, early uptake of the baseline stack that is Fusion middleware.
So as far as I know, you know, the apps teams, you know, get up to start taking this stuff in and start building up on it, you know, mid this year, and I don't know what their schedule is as far as, but I think they have their schedules. You just need someone on the app side to talk to that side of it.
So they're not using 10.1.3 now?
They are using 10.1.3 right now. In terms of eBusiness Suite is in the midst of visibly hitting us with various issues that we're resolving for 10.1.3.1 SOA. So yes, they are using it. And then different groups like Retech have already certified or just on the cusp of certifying on 10.1.3. So it depends on which part of the application's portfolio, but there is pretty broad uptake already of 10.1.3.
Yeah, and that's more of running on 10.1.3.
Correct.
Opposed to using some of the architecture features that I was just talking about. So what groups have been doing is certifying that their stuff runs on 10.1.3, and in doing so, some of the groups have taken advantage of things like a lot of our new security provisioning stuff and sort of have added hooks there. They've also added some, you know, web service interfaces with the new web services stuff, but for the most part, they've been trying to move to make sure that they're all running on the same platform.
I see. So you're not building new apps today in 10.1.3 using the new bindings and stuff?
No, it's more of getting existing apps running on the 10.1.3 server and then seeing if there's any technology they can sort of, you know, polish up or replace with stuff that's on the 10.1.3 stack.
Okay, one thing that they want to avoid is what happened with the old eBusiness Suite, where they kind of locked themselves into a very old release and had to certify forward with different pieces of the Fusion middleware or the app server stack. The goal is to get them as close as possible so that it's the moving of the basic runtime is trivial so that they can be building on exactly what Ted has been talking about.
Yeah, because I was thinking that bug that we bumped into for the tutorial for Colab would have been a showstopper for, you know, building stuff with JDev for anybody who was, you know, trying to do anything substantive. And I was just surprised if you guys were building in such a way that you weren't running into our bug.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, because like underlying listeners and stuff are not bolted in yet.
Right.
Some of that stuff. So, but we just sent an email back to Roel and Roel, Christoph, and Steve to let us know we gave you back the feedback on the patch that Roel sent out to us last week.
Oh, cool.
So it half works. So we're getting there.
Yeah, that'll be good to review and see what's still missing.
I mean, this is, of course, a tough architecture level bug.
Right.
Okay.
So next question is, what about metadata? We've talked a little bit about metadata, but I think this is a little bit different of a slant because it follows up with, Oracle has no viable product offerings to support analysis, use case modeling, data modeling, et cetera, for something the size and complexity of Fusion. What's the plan here? We continue to improve the JDEV UML modeling. That's more, and that is sort of being used by some of the teams early on to sort of scope some of the stuff out. What we've also been doing is two other things. One is, on the Bipple front, we've been extending Bipple with annotations that allow basically us to provide what they call an outline editor. And the outline editor is something where a business user would come in and actually high-level outline the business processes and sort of describe them, that they could be sort of taken in and implemented using the language. So rather than inventing, you know, an extra set of metadata that had to be kept in sync, we sort of used Bipple and annotated that for that. So that'll get some people, and some of the Fusion teams are looking at that, and that'll solve some of the problem. The other one we're doing is we have two partnerships, one with Proforma and one with Popkin. And what we're trying to get basically is, if you look at both of those, take Proforma for example, they have four levels of detail in their documentation, in their diagrams. So the top one is basically really high level, like this is HR module. You drill down a level deeper and it shows sort of some of the high level constructs of the and functionality of HR module. You drive down deeper, a little more detail. Then their fourth level is what they call the implementation level. And this is, again, a proprietary layer that basically is describing everything that we're capturing in Bipple. So we're actually working with those guys to try to get that layer to be, you know, Bipple and the standard metadata. And so at least that sort of will be the handoff point, where today, you know, you need this sort of manual sync between their implementation layer and the stuff that actually runs. We're trying to get to the description that we use, which is the actual stuff that runs as their description language, as their fourth layer. So there's a couple of different efforts going on. Some of the PeopleSoft guys were very big on the Proforma stuff and mapping out there, and that's why we started there. Some of the other teams have sort of been looking at what we're doing in the Bipple space and the use case diagram in JDEV and have been using that. The next question is about EJB3, and the last caller was a hint that EJB3 may replace ADFBC. Is that just a wish of the EJB team? Is that a strategic direction? No, I mean, there's sort of the two heads which you outlined in your sort of preface to all these questions, which is, you know, Fusion Middleware as the base of Fusion apps and Fusion Middleware as a viable product in the market. And I think as far as, you know, if you look at our JDeveloper 10.13 and our developer's guide, our preferred back-end persistence for the developer guy, someone who we're teaching to learn all this stuff, is TopLink and sort of the EJB3 style. And that's sort of something that appeals to a much broader audience. And the idea is to we think that will be an incredibly popular way to actually do things, and then once they get sort of comfortable with that and the other pieces, we'd be able to introduce what BC4J is doing and allow them to decide, is this sort of the layer, is this layer on top of the OR mapping something that they really want to manage and write themselves, or is that something they really want help from a declarative tool? But the Fusion teams have picked ADFBC. That is not changing. That is their layer for the business options. Mike, you want to take a couple of these? Give me a break.
Well, I'm just curious if Paul or anyone else had comments on that, or if there's any questions on that.
That's what we'd guessed, that the EJB3 guys were just wishing.
Okay. Next one was, what's the management structure for Fusion? Who is the overall project manager, technical lead, architect? I guess ultimately the whole Fusion architecture team reports up through Thomas Kurian. You probably have one of the most plugged in guys in the team here with Ted on the call, so I don't know, Ted, I think you even have the title as something like Chief Architect. So I think Thomas is the king of the hill here and sort of driving it, and then folks like Ted, Edwin Kotabachian in the integration space, and then probably Rahul Patel in the MDF space, and Steve Harris in the runtime space are kind of driving the, you know, the silos that sort of make up Fusion middleware. And then of course there's the apps team itself, but ultimately it reports up through Thomas, and he's, as you may know him, having seen him speak, is incredibly hands-on and pretty plugged into exactly what he wants to see in that environment.
So, Ted, and you've been speaking for a while now. This is Andrew here. So I think some of the questions might actually be for some other folks now, but please feel free to jump in if you have something to comment. I'm looking at question number 8, which is about the primary focus and the audiences. Dennis, is that one that you can help answer?
Sure. I guess I haven't actually seen the question, so if you could read it out to me, that'd be great.
Yeah. The question was, what audience has the primary focus for the coming year for Oracle Fusion Middleware, marketing-wise? Is it focusing on the forms developers, migrating to Java, i.e. the existing customers, or do you want to try and win market share from IBM and BEA, JBoss, et cetera, i.e. new customers?
Sure. So, you know, our forms users and our installed base are always important. So, you know, they're definitely part of our focus this year, but our overall strategy this year is really to try to attract a lot of new developers, and where we see a lot of those new developers, the best opportunities to attract those new developers are going to be in new markets, places like Brazil, India, Russia, China, and Korea. That doesn't mean that North America and Europe and other parts of the world aren't important, but those areas are where we see a lot of the growth happening, and that's part of the reason why we're putting together and trying to put increased emphasis on the regional director program, because one of the things we realize is we can't get to all those markets as easily. We don't know those markets necessarily as well as some people who live in those areas.
Does that answer the question for folks?
That's kind of a regional answer, but I think we were looking at customer types. You know, forms folks is one of the big groups that we see when we're at conferences, of course.
Right.
Yeah, and again, forums, you know, we are having people, you know, showing people or forums users, and in particular in the install base, you know, what's the way forward. That's definitely a priority for us as well.
One of the things that you see at, for example, our developer days is that I think you're all familiar with Regis Lewis, and we often will pair sort of an SOA talk or day with a here is SOA for forms folks, and frequently what that involves is sort of showing the ADF framework, and sort of how you build composite apps with it, both sort of showing the transition from forms to ADF as well as bringing in the SOA world. So there's a bit of a push in that regard as well.
Is it true to say, again, it's Andrew here, is it true to say that at the end of the day, is it too strong to say people will move off forms onto ADF and Java, or is that a fair statement? I'm just trying to throw that out there to kind of judge how hard you think we'll move along that road.
Yeah, from my assessment and looking at years past, I mean, when people are ready, we want to be able to show them, you know, where the path forward is. Because if people find that forms are still meeting their needs, you know, we'd rather have them go with forms than not use Oracle at all. So, you know, one of the things we have to be cognizant of if we don't actively market to the forms developers is, you know, there are others out there, particularly in the .NET community, who'd love to attract that audience. So, you know, that's where a lot of Regis's work is headed. I don't think he's trying to tell people you must switch, but it's like when you're ready to switch, here's the way forward.
All right. Any other comments or questions on that? Okay. So the next one, this is probably for myself, Vicky, and or Dennis. I'll read this one out so Dennis can understand the question. What is the scope of the Regional Directors Program? We seem to be talking a lot about Project Fusion, but I understand the impression was the program was about Oracle Fusion Middleware. this is a vehicle, is this a vehicle for Project Fusion, but also a technology stack that fits to use for custom development? So basically, I think this one came from Lonicky. The basic question is Fusion middleware for the Java developers out there, or is it simply just a vehicle to support the Oracle's applications, and hence the bias towards the applications aspect to it? So from my perspective, I've always seen the program focus purely at the core middleware piece, the technology piece, and there are some users that will use it for Oracle applications and a whole application stack that Oracle now has, but another audience will be looking at it from a purely Java development perspective. The example was previous question, is it new Java type customers or is it existing Oracle base that we're looking to attract? It then goes back to, for those people that are using the Oracle application stack, obviously that's a core audience for us, but for the new Java developers that we're trying to attract to Oracle, then the core middleware is, we're trying to make that as attractive as possible through all of those things that Ted and Mike were talking about earlier. Dennis or Mike or Ted, any other comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, without trying to hedge, it's really both. You know, one of the reasons I think there is so much interest in Oracle Fusion middleware is because it is going to be the foundation for Project Fusion and the next generation of apps. But, you know, one of the things we've done from the beginning in designing it is making sure that it is a complete and comprehensive Java and SOA stack. So it really does have and should be attractive to both audiences. So in other words, if you're interested in these enterprise apps, and you know this is a great technology stack, but if you're also interested in building custom apps, or you know, as Charles Phillips likes to promote, if you want to extend and evolve Oracle apps, this is a great platform for doing so. So it's really a multi-purpose thing. So you know, I think in the future we'll still be talking about you know how Oracle Fusion middleware relates to Project Fusion, but we'll also be talking about you know how all the capabilities of Oracle Fusion middleware allow you to build your own custom applications.
Okay. The next question was to do with the program itself. When do we, both Oracle and region directors, decide that the program is a success? I still have some trouble to explain to my peers what exactly the goal of the program is. Maybe if I could set some criteria, it would help to clarify the goals. I think now, this is obviously a question for myself and Vicky primarily. The core purpose of the program, and I think Mike and Ted have alluded to this too, is to be able to get the word out about what Oracle Fusion middleware is to those audiences that Oracle sometimes have difficulty reaching, and also for those occasions where you as the regional directors have opportunities to speak to the Oracle audience itself, like at user groups as you were describing. So for our perspective, the program is a success when we can measure, if you like, or be able to document those occasions where the regional directors have positively influenced both the existing Oracle audience and new potential Oracle audience, like the existing Java users that aren't familiar with Oracle, be able to say we have been able to outreach to a wider audience because of the Regional Directors Program. I think there's a flip side to it as well, though. I think it's deemed a success when you as the regional directors feel that you have been able to get access to and have your questions answered to make you a more effective player in the Oracle ecosystem. I hate that word, but basically you know what I mean, be able to communicate better and be able to positively influence your customers to be able to use this new technology and be talking intelligently about it to those folks. So that was number 10. Dennis, do you have any other comments on that?
I think you summed it up pretty well, Andrew.
Okay. The next question on the list was...
I'd like to ask a clarification, please.
Certainly.
I thought I remembered when we first did this that I thought, because what you've now outlined is effectively a one-way communication from Oracle down to us, and us getting information from you and then disseminating it. I was also understanding that part of why I've been pushing back and saying, well, tell us about Fusion then, is I understood that there was also a mandate that you were trying to get, because, you know, you've got a pretty serious group of architects here.
Right. And I know exactly what you're going to say, and you're absolutely right, and I should have mentioned that in that comment that I made. That is a very important piece to get your feedback. It's not only your personal feedback, but also the feedback from the people that you talk to about Oracle and the Fusion middleware platform. And because you have access to people like Ted and Rule and Mike and the other people that we've been connecting you with and you have already connections with, I think it's vitally important that we hear your feedback. And that is part of the measure of success from our perspective, from the kind of internal perspective.
Okay.
So, yes, thank you for correcting me on that. All right, number 11 on this list, which was, please provide an overview of all the components of Fusion so that we know how Fusion middleware fits with the overall Fusion picture. We have heard up to this point, heard many details, but I'm missing this overview. So I think this is really Lonicky asking, kind of, there's the core technology. Is there a PowerPoint slide that says this is what the core technology is, and is there then a picture of how that core technology fits with the other pieces that it would connect to, like the application? Is there a simple slide, or is it complicated by its very nature? Dennis, do you have such a slide?
I thought the slides are pretty clear, but let me go back and we'll take a look and we'll see what we can send out.
It would be good to get some feedback on what, like I understand what they're asking, and so we tried to, you know, up level, for example, the Fusion middleware slide where it shows, you know, grid computing on the bottom, the app server as a runtime with ADF and J2EE, and then layered around that, management, security, development tools, portal, integration, and sort of at the top portal. I think you probably have seen that slide in some way, shape, or form. Is it trying to then map that into Oracle applications in the future map? Because that is, as Ted said, really what those guys are using. I think the big change from past application usage is so how closely coupled the two will be. I think there is always a bigger lag in terms of the uptake from Oracle applications of the way the core platform was using. But when you look at that Fusion middleware picture, that is the stack that Oracle applications is building Project Fusion with. And as Dennis said, we kind of take you through in probably gory detail, but maybe it's just the next level up of showing applications in conjunction with that. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I think it was, the question also was, there seems to be a broader use of the word Fusion than just middleware. And maybe Fusion middleware is a component of that broader picture.
Yeah, you're right. So we have the slides for Fusion middleware, and how all those pieces will go together. And you know, we're starting to build some of the slides, and then there's sort of Fusion applications, which is talking about all the packaged applications, right? Those are the same terms. They're both sort of under the Fusion umbrella. And I think, you know, we're starting to put together some of the slides of, and this is really, you know, working with the apps teams, trying to figure out how they're going to use the technology. You know, what's the best architecture? You know, the best practices, design patterns. You know, Michael Addison and I have been working with about 6 proof of concept teams from Ebiz, you know, Siebel, and those guys, to try to come up and answer those questions and sort of build together. But yeah, maybe you're right. It's just as simple as, you know, the positioning of Fusion middleware with Fusion applications and what that actually means when you hear the word Fusion.
Yeah, well, I can guess that would probably be within the Oracle Fusion architecture diagram. Just, you know, we've had earlier renditions of that, but they definitely needed some work. And I don't think we've shown that as much as we've shown the Fusion middleware diagram. So that's good feedback.
I think we kind of jumped in the middleware part.
In the middle of the middleware part.
The middle of the middleware part.
Okay. All right. It sounds like we need to just make a little note to work on those slides and make sure that they're available. Number 12 is a repeat of a previous question about the performance of the program. Number 13 was a question about how Siebel was going to be integrated to the basically in general Oracle applications. And I think, again, it was Lonicky. She was noting, it was Peter?
Okay. That was me.
That was you. You noticed that there was some potentially different strategy, and you just wanting to see.
This was just a reaction I got, or just a feeling I got by passing by one of the security desks that was over in the building across the water from the main buildings. I was there for training, and I saw a slide that said something of there was Fusion on one side, and there was something else on the other. And under Fusion, it had, you know, PeopleSoft and JD Edwards and the other side, and I can't remember the term that was used, there was Siebel. And it was like it was a parallel effort to Fusion. So I didn't see it long enough to actually absorb it, unfortunately, and I wish I'd made some notes, but it was just a brief slide that passed by. So is there such a thing that's parallel to Fusion that's for Siebel?
So maybe I'll just give you two answers. If Ted is still on the call, I think he has to leave. But one is that right out of the box, they are doing exactly like the other teams are. They're pretty much certifying on the platform. And each one of these guys arrive, they promptly file, you know, they're anywhere from 6 to 20 bugs against the middleware platform because they've pretty much done the support, and then they have, you know, whatever the issues are they have. So that is actually well underway. And then there's been some work I think Ted has been involved in terms of understanding how their stack, both current and future, is fitting into the Fusion middleware. But maybe Ted can speak to that a bit.
And is there a name for this thing? This is the thing that I thought I saw a name to it.
It's all, as far as the Siebel stuff goes, it's all Fusion middleware. Their target is to get that. So, I mean, it's the same plan as everything else, right? So the PeopleSoft code line continues to evolve, right? The Siebel stuff will continue to evolve, but as far as everything that's a non-vertical, so everything other than, you know, ProfitLogic and Retech and those guys are sort of on their own right now. They haven't determined whether or not they're going to come back, but the Siebel stuff, the PeopleSoft, all those apps are targeting Fusion. Now that said, you might hear some other projects that are underway where, you know, certain customers are trying to do, you know, some pre-Fusion stuff on 10.1.3 using services and parts of the Fusion stack. And those were really, as a company, trying to keep minimal, but they do exist for particular markets or particular customers. But you shouldn't have seen, it'd be interesting what you actually saw, but I think the messaging should be, you know, the Fusion architecture is the architecture that's the Siebel functionality, the PeopleSoft functionality, and the eBiz will be written on.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't get enough details from the slide because it was passing through on the way to the cafeteria, so just wanted to float that.
Okay, Ted, I know that you need to go. There's one very last question on the list I'm going to jump to that maybe you can answer. It was about Ruby on Rails. Anything that we're going to be doing in terms of middleware or any comment on Ruby on Rails, given that it seems to be getting a bit of attention from particularly Java developers?
Yeah, I think we have a sort of a plan or a basically an architecture slide for how you can actually use some of the back-end services of our BIPL, our ESB, and any of the BC4J, expose them as services, and if you're a scripting programmer,
go ahead and do that. And that really comes back to the, you know, the productivity with choice message, which is our preferred architecture, the stuff that we're willing to bank our entire e-business suite and package the application business on, is sort of the ones we picked, including the Java Server Faces front end with, you know, sort of the J2E back end. But we appreciate, you know, people are doing these things. And in a lot of cases, the scripting language people are writing everything in that, and that's fine. But there's also, you know, I think a group of people who do want to sort of work in the Ruby on Rails or PHP or Perl world, but, you know, still take advantage of the services that are being made from their partners or other parts of the company. So it is sort of a coexistence like a lot of the other technologies are, but, you know, we have sort of have our preferred stack and we support those users. So you'll see some features. We've added a bunch of features in the product, you know, for some of these scripting languages, and you'll see us continue to do that to support that user base. And as long as there's users who are building enterprise applications with these technologies, we want to support them.
All right. I think basically looking at the other questions that are here, there's two last questions, but as I said, I know, Ted, you need to get away. Any other from questions directed for Ted? Any other comments or questions?
Cool, thanks. I got to run over to the CVC. Thanks, guys. It was good talking to you.
All right, so the other last three questions that I see here are one about the explanation of what Fusion is, and who was it that asked this question, Vicky, regarding kind of a, is it, Harshad was asking, is it like a marketing term, an umbrella term that Oracle's using to kind of as a collection of this middleware, all these middleware products? Dennis, is that one you can answer?
Yeah, I mean, when the name Oracle Fusion Middleware was created, it was really a combination of two things. One, it was really to talk about the fact that it's more than just an application server, and it was all these other surrounding components within the middleware arena that are all interoperate together. So Fusion, in that sense, was trying to show how everything's connected and works together. But on the other side, it was obvious, there was the other big reason, of course, was with all the talk around Oracle Project Fusion and the need for people to understand that we are making progress with Project Fusion and that's coming along. So the decision was made to name the underlying middleware and give it a brand of Oracle Fusion Middleware.
Okay. Any comments on that?
It'll help to see the slide.
Okay. That's good. That's good. That is good for you. I actually myself haven't seen the slide, but I know that if it's not, it doesn't exist today, I'm sure it will exist very, very soon.
Yeah, there's been early renditions of it that was Charles had for last year's Open World, but definitely people have some comments on it. It's technical accuracy, so it needs to be updated, obviously.
Okay. Then the last two points, one's I suppose a question, the other one was a point from Harshad, I think they both were. It was to do with EJB, kind of the role of EJB3, and it really goes back to how EJB3.0 and ADF kind of interoperate and the fact that there may be the equivalent of two camps. There's the ADF camp and then there's the EJB3.0 camp, and how does Oracle see the role of each?
I think Ted did a pretty good answer of sort of positioning those two and explaining them.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's already answered that one.
Okay. And that was the list that we had that had come in. Is there anything else that anyone has as a question?
Well, yeah, to some extent. I mean, on my question, I mean, my questions really went, I think, usually more to the Project Fusion level rather than to the Fusion middleware level. So, I mean, I think at some point there's still somebody we have to talk to that we haven't talked to, which is, you know, somebody more on the app side who can talk about what are we going to do with these 100,000 tables and how are we going to manage this stuff.
Right.
I mean, even now, I still feel like we're talking about these products as, you know, things that we're trying to market out. and not really speaking to, you know, the support for this massive project and what its strategy and direction is.
Right. I think the key to that piece is that the way that the Fusion Middleware program, what we have for you guys in the Regional Directors program, is really focused at that core set of technologies. As Ted was explaining and Mike was explaining, the platform on which developers and other folk can build other systems. And one of those sets of systems is the application stack. I know, for example, Loniki, she's very much focused on what the Java developer who doesn't work with Oracle applications, what those guys are doing. And same for our friends in India. So I think the way to think of this maybe, Paul, is that the applications piece is almost kind of an implementation of how this core technology can be leveraged. And it may be that is a separate conversation that we need to hook you into with some of those apps guys that takes place outside of this core middleware directors program. Because, as I say, we see this core technology is a set of pieces that can be used for these various different applications, whether you build them yourself or the actual Oracle applications piece. So certainly,
I would argue that we need to know this, even if you know, even with the stated mandate. You're now having, Fusion Middleware is going to be supporting Project Fusion, and that is going to drive a significant portion of the resources of this tool set. That has to be your prime use case because Oracle as a company's survival depends on Project Fusion succeeding.
So one comment here, and this is to Andrew and Paul, is that I think a great way to start that conversation, because I agree with Paul that it's a hugely important one for this group to have, is to potentially have someone like Mike Audison do a demonstration of what we've been calling the Expense app, which really shows Fusion applications, a new application built on top of Fusion applications and Fusion middleware, because that is, as Paul says, it really is the root of what we're trying to do. Unlike previously, where in Oracle Apps 10, really the integration with the technology folks was database and forms and reports. That was really the relationship that was had between ST server technologies and applications. If you look now, the amount of, I gave that list of names that own the verticals within Fusion Middleware, the number of relationships and day-to-day meetings that we have across Fusion Middleware with Oracle applications to solve their exact use cases rather than, generic use cases. We still are doing the generic use cases, but the relationship with Oracle applications is deeply, deeply embedded within ST now. And the example that I used of Mike Audison's expense application is sort of the first fruit of that, showing Portal, BIPL, identity management with, four different components of Oracle applications working together. And that might be a start to answering what I think Paul was after.
Well, it depends. It might entirely be the answer. I think that would not be, speaking as an architect, I would not suggest that that's a particularly good answer, because I think that answer says that the focus we're seeing really is the architecture, which is not an architectural vision. It's a development-centric vision. I'm still grappling with the question of how do you manage 100,000 tables and 200 million lines of code? And this is a big problem that indicates an architectural direction. And back to that, you really don't have a tool suite to manage that. Now, I think going into pro forma says that yes, that gives you the mechanism if we're going to drive a more or less text-based analysis vision, then that makes sense. But what do you do for all the big data models? You can't tell me you're going to use at least what's currently in JDeveloper to manage a 12,000 table database.
Right.
Well, so, but I guess you could tell me that, but I would be surprised.
Right. That's fair enough. So, but I do think it is a complementary discussion because it is, in fact, what that team is essentially going through and piloting what they had to do in order to do that and reach into exactly what you're describing, you know, whatever it is, the 10,000 tables and so forth. But it certainly, for Andrew's sake, I do think it is a good conversation to carry on. And, you know, one suggestion is the Mike Otteson demo because that team is what a lot of the apps teams are looking to as saying, here's what we're going to build in the future. But there's sounds like what Paul is asking for is also give me the complementary infrastructure team perspective on it that has to manage this offering that's being created.
Right.
Absolutely.
So would it be fair to say that I'm trying to visualize a little mental picture here. If I visualize the core Fusion middleware piece sitting there in the middle, and what you've described, Paul, is that there's a very major use case, which is our applications. Now there are other generic use cases as well, but one of the major ones that is helping to drive what the Fusion middleware is our applications use case. If we were to start revealing how that was operating, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think Mike's point of seeing this demo, I think it will start, as you said, it's a very big problem and you have to start somewhere. And I think if we would start to reveal these examples, it will obviously raise questions, but hopefully it will be able to answer a few as well.
Yeah, because I mean, the conclusion that I'm starting to come to is I'm wondering, I mean, is there a way that you're managing the architecture, or is it just evolving? Or are you focusing, I mean, again, that's back to that architectural question. Are you leaving these products where they are and just putting, you know, applications on top of them? Are you trying to integrate all this stuff, and if so, how? And for a year now or a year and a half, I've been trying to get that question answered, and I cannot get an answer to it yet. I still don't know.
Right. Mike, who's the gentleman that we need to get in contact with?
Well, I think one half of the question is someone like Mike Otteson that will give more of a developer-centric view of the world, but there's also a back-end group, which is a much, if you look at the sort of volume of people involved in building Fusion applications, the vast majority are involved in the front end, build the, you know, expense app, build the HR app, and so on. And then there's a much smaller core group that's managing the core infrastructure and dealing with, I think, the issues that Paul is bringing up. And I'm trying to think of who's the appropriate person. Maybe what I'll do is I'll email you offline, Andrew, and give you some suggestions there.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay.
As Paul says, it's a very different problem. It's very much like, you know, I don't hear Paul, for example, asking a lot about, well, how do I administer Oracle Application Server for running all this stuff? He tends to be asking more around how do I build the application? Now, his question is really around that other side of the realm, which is I have to administer this new thing that's being put out, and what is the problems and tools that people are using to deal with it?
And then that follows on to the, again, sorry to put words in your mouth, but follows on to what tools are you planning to use, how is it going to be implemented, et cetera, et cetera.
Because this will also speak to the quality of the ultimate product that comes out.
It's actually, in a sense, you know, as much as it probably hurts me tools are free now, but people pay for the management of managing their infrastructure because it's the real hard problem. I mean, they're both hard problems, but the actual runtime is the thing that, and the database tables, you know, it's a serious administrative problem, and I think that's what Paul is trying to deal with, is how to or ask about how are we dealing with that going forward.
Right.
So, I mean, how are you even designing the database?
Exactly.
What are you going to do with that? You know, I mean, you guys bought this 100,000 tables for the crap people bought. What are you going to do with it?
Yep.
I mean, it's an awful design. You know, I cannot imagine.
I was going to say, it sounds like you've had a peek under the covers.
It's nobody's changed the sheets in a very long time. And I think it's a really interesting, I mean, I cannot imagine being a developer having to write code against that thing.
Right.
So, I mean, there has to be a strategy, and you've got, you know, all these different technology stacks with significant overlap in terms of functionality. I mean, there has to be a strategy out there for, I mean, unless all you were intending to do was to buy market share, and you had no long-term vision of trying to create a coherent set suite of products, and I don't believe that for a minute, then there must be some strategy for how to get you there.
Right.
Unless you guys are just really dumb. But I don't think that's true.
Right. I'm glad to hear that you think that. All right. I'm just doodling a little diagram for myself here, which basically just sums up that mental picture that I was drawing. It's basically there's a core set of Fusion middleware technology. There's a view, which is the how do you develop against that? This is the whole discussion of ADF, EJB 3.0, all of those good things, BIPL process management. And then there's the kind of the applications that get built on top of that. You've got the existing apps as we have them, and it's kind of like how those two will interoperate and how to manage them. And there's some of the questions.
How are you going forward?
Yeah.
I mean, almost what I'm looking for, I mean, if I had to describe it, there ought to be a white paper out there that's somewhere between 10 and 150 pages, depending on its level of detail, called, you know, the Project Fusion Strategy Document.
That deals with all of the, particularly the integration and how those two map together and are managed.
I suspect that paper exists somewhere, or if not, it should.
All right. Well, maybe you and I, Mike, offline can see whether something like that exists or who the right people to talk to get that information to Paul are.
Now, I might have to sign an NDA or something to look at it, because that might be considered, you know, more proprietary than stuff that we're allowed to look at.
Right.
Okay. On the other hand, it seems like we need to know some part of that.
Yeah. If you want to keep us in the dark, you know, but you know, back to that thing. If you want us to give us any meaningful feedback as to whether this thing is meeting the mission, we have to know what the mission is. And I still feel like I have no clue as to what the mission is. I mean, I know
right.
You're building the best kick-ass development environment that ever lived, and I see that coming, and I see you guys evolving, and I can get a pretty clear picture of what that looks like. But I have no clear picture of what you're trying to do with it in Fusion.
From the app side.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm clueless.
Well, we'll keep plugging away to see what we can find out for you in terms of that. And Mike Lehman and I will see who we can get. But I think Mike's suggestion on getting you to see that expense demo app would certainly be a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think showing us what a good app is going to look like next year, I think that'll be neat.
Cool.
But it still isn't telling us what the mission is. It's telling us how you're going to meet the mission.
Right. All right. As I said, Mike and I will talk offline and see what we can pull together for you. Is there any other feedback or comments? All right. I shall say then the call for today is done. Dennis, Mike, and Ted who left, thank you very much for joining us and answering those questions. And thank you for our regional directors today.
All right, thank you.
Thanks
Andrew.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Vicki. Bye, everyone.